Ben was working so hard to make sure we would be prepared for the top of the show. And we are. We are. Hello, everyone. Yes. I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. It is Happy Hour Friday, Economics on Tap, and the final Make Me Smart episode of the year. I wore my Christmas sweater.
There you go. I've got my Christmas chapeau on. So, you know,
so
we're in
impressed.
The spirit. We're in the spirit. I know. Well, let me tell you what happened. Somebody tweeted at me and said, I'll give you an extra $100 if you wear it on the YouTube on Friday. And I'm like, $100? Yeah, I'll do that.
So, oh, well, all right. And so for those of you who aren't watching the video, there are sunglasses on top of the Santa hat.
Well,
it is LA.
I had my sunglasses on and then I couldn't really figure out what was going on. So I'm doing this. Yes, for those who are not familiar, I'm Kai Rizdahl. We've got the live stream up and running, last live stream of the year. So for those watching on YouTube, thank you for joining us. We'll be doing the news, something else today, I think, as well. Do you have a beverage, Ms. Wood?
I do. You know, I'm doing it again. The eggnog and bourbon situation was so delicious, and it's so seasonal that I had to do it. And also, I was afraid the eggnog was on the edge of turning, so I may have added just a little extra bourbon to kill anything that might have been going on in there. It's the same eggnog as last week. That's why I did it. That's the only reason that I threw in some extra bourbon today. That's it.
So I am I'm a little picky in my eggnog, actually, as will not surprise, I guess, anybody who knows me. And there's this one dairy that we get our eggnog from at the local Ralph's, and they don't seem to have it this year. So I'm a little distraught. But I'm drinking a beer that my cousin sent me from Pennsylvania, from Hershey, PA, Trogues Independent Brewing. It's their perpetual IPA. Quite tasty. Thank you very much. Okay. So we got some news, which we should get to. I like yours. I almost picked yours. So why don't you go first?
I know. Before I even jump in, I'm going to say that I actually almost considered, and I'm just going to like get this out of the way, that there was a part of me that was like, I'm just going to boycott bringing any news today because it's so exhausting. It's so sad. It's so frustrating. And ultimately, it's sort of just like this incremental TikTok of hell that we are responsible for bringing to you every day. And the fact is that if something really, really big happened, you'd find out, right? You'd get a breaking news alert and you don't have to. Maybe it would be better for all of us if we weren't just like, and then this increment happened and then this increment happened and then this one and whatever. And we can really get ourselves down in the rabbit hole. And so like take care of yourselves more than we do and turn off the Twitter for the weekend at a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
At a minimum. However, let's begin. So, because we're not going to be able to talk about this on the tech show for the rest of the year because we have programmed it, know that in a lot of cases, algorithms are being used to determine who's going to get vaccines in this country. Everybody was like, we'll just throw some AI on it and it'll make it more fair because the equity conversation around distribution is a big one. So, definitely... At places like Stanford, we're going to make sure we use tech for this, and it's going to go great. And it turned out that a, quote, faulty algorithm meant that only 7 of Stanford's first 5,000 vaccines were actually designated for the patient-facing medical residents who are at risk of getting COVID, who are the ones who have bruises all over their faces from the PPE that they're wearing all day, every day. Many medical professionals who are patient-facing have died, and yet 4,993 doses of vaccines were designated for doctors, and I assume some professors who were like at home.
Yeah.
And there was a protest. I mean, there was an actual demonstration because, these poor people have just had it. Like, nurses and residents were just standing out there with signs like, you have got to be kidding me. Now, Stanford's administrators are apologizing. Like, we are very sorry. This was a terrible mistake. But it just, I don't understand how you even see that list and go like, nope. Yeah. Absolutely not.
Yeah. The whole algorithm thing is amazing. Did you see the item the other day that the University of Texas Department of Computer Science has been using algorithms to screen applicants for its PhD programs in computer science? And lo and behold, it selected not brown and black, not low income, but a whole lot of white, privileged people to be in their computer science program. These algorithms did, which were written by computer scientists at Texas. Yeah. Yeah. I think thing everybody forgets when you say the word algorithm, and this is something you say to me all the time. Algorithms are written by people, right? So.
Yes. Yep. And I feel like my job here is done because I was opening my mouth to be like, algorithms are written by people. Oh. And people have spent way too long. No, it's like, it's perfect. Yay. It's working.
Yeah.
I mean, yes. And people have spent a lot of years, thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of years determining who they think is more important. And that is what shows up in the algorithm. And it's
right.
I mean, and it showed up in the YouTube chat. Somebody said, sorry, it doesn't begin to cut it. And that's like kind of true. Yeah. So
also you're the apparently the queen of eye rolls. Every mind.
I didn't,
eye roll
I know. I'm just discovering this. Every eye roll is epic.
Epic. Wow. Epic. Hello, I'm Molly Wood. My eye rolls are epic.
My
no joke.
Eye rolls are epic. I'm putting that in my Twitter bio. Changing it.
Flaneur to eye rolls are epic.
Flaneur to eye roll. And then also I lost my damn mind discovering that apparently the Pentagon, the acting Pentagon director that Trump installed just like a month ago, has halted briefings, supposedly for the rest of the year, transition briefings, so they can take a holiday pause in the middle of what is being described as one of the most dangerous cyber intrusions in years in America. And the Biden team says, no, 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 this was definitely not a mutually agreed upon pause for the holidays during a national security threat.
Yeah. So this would be the acting Secretary of Defense that the President of the United States appointed after he fired the Secretary of Defense, deciding he's going to shut it down for 2 weeks. Taking a knee is what they said. We're going to take a knee for 2 weeks.
Taking a knee.
Yes. All right. So mine is, it's a little more, it's a little less jazzy than yours, but I've also got a fun one too. Super quick.
I
just thought it was interesting, an article in the Washington, in the Wall Street Journal today about consolidation in digital media, right? So we've seen small local newspapers and television stations and radio stations closing and local media is going away, but some of the biggies in the space of digital media are looking for ways to get bigger. So BuzzFeed is thinking about going public. Axios is thinking about making acquisitions. Patch is weighing a sale, it says, after people want to buy it. So I just think consolidation in not only legacy media and print media and analog media, but also digital media is a trend that's happening in this economy. And it's happening faster, I think, probably because of this pandemic. And it's going to play out in 2021 in a way that's going to make people go, wait, how come there are all these big digital media companies now? And I just, it's worthy of remarking on, and it is true to the founding ethos of this podcast on a daily basis, which is, look, here's something maybe you missed. And here's, you know, here's something you ought to pick up on. My other one
that
actually is the one I like
one.
Better.
I like it. Oh, yeah, hit it.
Yeah, I love it too. My other one is just so much more fun, and it goes with the whole Pentagon thing. So we now have, thank you, President Donald Trump, a sixth branch of the United States military. It is called the United States Space Force. It is resident within the Air Force, much as the Marine Corps is resident within the Department of the Navy. But they are out there establishing a brand. They've got a logo that looks a whole lot like the Star Trek logo, might I just say. And now they have a name. Says the United States Space Force on Twitter today, and this is a quote. Today, after a year-long process that produced hundreds of submissions and research involving space professionals and members of the general public, we can finally share with you the name by which we, Space Force, will be known, Guardians.
I think we all just.
I mean, God bless them, right? Because look, space is a military frontier, and all of these things. But Guardians, I just can't. There's got to be a better.
Why
do they need a name? Navy are sailors. Marines are Marines. Army are soldiers. Space is Guardians. I don't understand.
Guardians. Why can't they just be astronauts? Also, thank you to Twitter for pointing out. Also, literally all day I was like, why is Guardians of the Galaxy trending? Did they announce a new one with that huge dump of Disney news? And then I'm like, oh my God, you gotta be kidding me. And also I would like to say thank you to Twitter for pointing out that basically like an extinction level asteroid is about to hit Earth in the back of the photo that they posted.
Oh, I know. In their yes. Yep. Yep. Come on.
Okay.
Guys.
All right. Plenty of time, by the way, for plenty of time and money and energy to have a year-long process that produced hundreds of submissions and research and then a branding exercise and a whatever. Way more time, money, and energy apparently than was put into saving thousands of American lives.
Oh,
unless you count saving them from the asteroid
that's going to hit us in this logo. Shall we? Let us.
Yeah, let's move on.
There you go. God, Ben Tolliday, it's like the three of us are a mind meld.
I know,
we say
seriously.
It says, oh, yeah, that's it. That's what we got to do.
Yep.
Okay.
Bond. I love it.
A little bit of Make Me Smiles today. Yeah, a little bit of Makes Me Smiles today, a different variety. We had asked you earlier this week what you learned in 2020. Here is what some of you said.
Hi, Kai and Molly. This is Emily from New York.
This is Annabelle in Seattle.
Hi, Kai and Molly. This is Josh from Arlington.
What I've learned this year is that the most important thing is our health. That I can live without going out, without planes, without traveling, but I can't live without music, books, movies, podcasts.
In 2020, I learned that history is more recent than I thought. As someone in her early 30s, I think I took for granted the global imbalance of power that put Americans at the top, believing that the big watershed moments that got us here, like the fall of the Soviet Union, even in my own lifetime, felt like decided an irreversible history and that the world order was untouchable. Was that seriously how I was educated?
You asked what I learned from 2020. I learned that I love hiking, and my family spent the vast majority of the summer on trails I never knew existed. I learned that a pandemic fridge is a thing after I bought one.
And I have found the importance of learning about myself and loving myself.
I learned that even after 20 years, my wife and I love each other very much and proved it by spending months in an apartment.
2020 took my rose-colored glasses, and while I hope 2021 can give me back my optimism, I learned I needed to grow up this year. Thank you, and see you in 2021.
Thank you for making us smart.
Happy New Year, and please be well and stay safe.
Wow, that whole we need to grow up. Wow.
Wow. I know.
That was some stuff right
was
there.
Intense.
No joke.
Dang. Yep. That was real.
Good stuff, though. Thank you for writing in. I appreciate that. That was cool.
That was wonderful. That was cool. You guys, thank you. That was incredible.
Huh.
We're like rendered speechless. Yeah. Smart group.
Okay. Yeah, totally. Special, very quick thing just for the listeners of this podcast. Might I just say that the Kai PA glass kills it? Most popular thank you gift of 2020, and I'm just going to say probably ever. Limited run thing, but it's back. Haven't announced it anywhere else yet, so Make Me Smart listeners get first dibs. If you donate at marketplace.org/givesmart, we will hook you up. Thing is, only available through midnight on New Year's Eve. I, as it happens, have a set of six in my cabinet right now, and we use them every day.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you, I know that, I can't believe I have to say this next line because I know that you only want the Kai PA glass. But if you're not a pint glass kind of person who's been listening to Marketplace forever, which is literally like the beer to Marketplace Venn diagram is, in fact, when I first, interviewed at Marketplace and went out to dinner with these guys. I sat down. There was like me and all the leadership. And I was like, man, huh. Everybody went around. They ordered their beer. And I ordered my glass of wine. And I was like, I know that the beer thing, I knew it was a thing here. I didn't know it was like gang-ish. Except I used the brown word because I actually just said it. But yeah, it's legit.
Anyway,
other cool swag to choose from. In the spirit of none of us being as smart as all of us, when you donate, you will, of course, join the community that powers Make Me Smart in all of Marketplace. There's the mask. There's the t-shirt. There's the Kai PA glass, which I know is what you're in it for. So just go. Just go
whatever.
For it.
Whatever. That's fine. That's fine. So the target is $500,000. We are just shy of $350,000. Want to get to 500K by the end of the year. Donate if you can. Marketplace.org/givesmart. Market, Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Corribera. You know, Marketplace, whatever. Tony Wagner does digital for us. Stephen Bion and Ben Hethcote are our video producers. Erica Phillips does our newsletters and the Make Me Smart skill on your smart device. For one last time, Ethan Peretz is our beloved video intern.
He's a ledge. He's a ledge. Today's program was engineered by Ben Tolliday, a legend in his own right. He also composed our theme music with Daniel Ramirez. The senior producer is Donna Tam, and executive director of On Demand, also, not going to lie, kind of a ledge, Sachar Nieves.
There we go. Boom.
Oh, I love our show.
Nice. Nice.
Good times, everyone. Good times. What a pick-me-up.